Broadcasting 2.0 for January 19, 2024, episode 164. Let's get local. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Accept no alternatives. If you want to know what's going on in podcasting, it's happening right here. Well, it's happening here. It's happening at podcastindex.org. It's happening on the namespace. It's happening at podcastindex.social. We are the only boardroom that moves in phases. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who builds bridges for anyone to cross. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
You fired up today.
Well, come on. I mean, you know, we have to differentiate ourselves from all these other podcasts about podcasts.
Yeah, this starts off, you know, hey.
Hey, welcome.
How was your week?
Welcome. How was your week? Exactly. Yeah. Hey, how was your week? Yeah. Hey, are you in the Podcast Hall of Fame yet, Dave Jones?
Not yet.
Oh, you should be. No, no. You should be.
No, I've got another 10 years.
In a future Hall of Fame. You totally belong there. Totally.
Wait, it says you're not lit. Eric PP says we're not lit.
Oh, we're not lit. You know why? Because I didn't hit the lit.
Oh.
That's why. Sorry about
that. It's funny how that works.
I was distracted by all the awesome music. That's what it was. Hold on a second.
Your status is still pending.
I know. I'm a pending fool. Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought the AP bridge was broken.
I suck. Okay. I'm sorry. It should be working now. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to keep piling on.
That's the worst thing. It happens once a month. Once a month this happens. I mean, there's so many things to think of. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to connect the split kit. I got to set the new, set the right title on the streaming software. I've got to make sure I'm not, you know, jumping in on people who are just late on the stream. There's so many things to think
of. You have a hard job, Adam.
I wouldn't say that's true at all. It's not even a job. For 16 years, I've not had a job. I have a calling. There you go.
I was about to say, what is not a hobby.
No, it's a calling. Hello, boardroom. We are live and lit, which means everybody is in the, if you're a part of Podcasting 2.0, hopefully you have an app that brings you into the boardroom or you know what we're talking about. Ooh, what was that? Oh, I don't know.
You accidentally sat on a booster gram.
Ow. Woo. That felt good.
let me give you, an update from the, what would you call this? The brave new world of, oh, there we go. I see it. Oh, we're lit. Okay.
The brave new world of what?
The brave new world of all electric heat. Oh, we don't use fossil fuels directly in our homes anymore.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well be mining Bitcoin probably.
It blows chunks. I mean, it is not fun. So Birmingham, Alabama.
Now, we had 11 degrees past couple of days in Texas. What did you have?
So roughly the same. We had 13 on Tuesday morning. 13. We had 13 on Tuesday. 15 on Tuesday. We had 13 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We get one day of warm up, and now tomorrow morning it's going to be again 15.
Yeah, we get the same.
And then another more, and then the morning after that it's going to be again 15 degrees. So, you know, our house is like 130 years old.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
The bones of this house are fantastic. Uh-huh. I mean, like, yeah. You know, I mean, it's every bit the sturdy, you know, thing that you would think it is, but there's not a lick of insulation anywhere.
And right.
So we went to these mini split like multi-head mini split units about 5 years ago.
Multi-head mini split units? Is that a sex toy? I'm not sure what that is.
It can be. It depends on how you use it.
What exactly is
that? I mean,
they're
a little high off the ground to sit on, but I mean, you can make it work if you really want it.
Okay.
But so do you know what? So the mini split unit is basically a heat pump, but it has, you see these things all over. Well, they're very popular now, but you see them especially all over Japan.
Well, the heat pumps are the new climate change mitigation technology.
Yeah, yes. A pure electric, you know, all electric heat.
Yeah, and they basically don't work is what I keep hearing.
Well, the way this thing works is you have heads in each, you have a head in each room, a head unit in each room. Mm-hmm. And there's like zones, you know.
Right.
So you can have different zones be different temperatures in each. So you might have four head units attached to one outside into the compressor outside. And it's air conditioning during the summer, heat during the winter. And all it does, it's got a thing called a four-way reversing valve. So during the winter, instead of taking the heat out of your house, it takes the heat out from outside and dumps it into your house. Mm-hmm. It's a great concept. And it's during the summer, it saves us hundreds of dollars a month.
Right.
The problem is so if you think it through, you're taking the heat from out. So your inside coil in a heat situation, your inside coil in the unit in your house is now, you know, 140 degrees.
Right.
Your outside unit is now freezing, is now dumping all the cold out. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to ice up and freeze. So it has to go through a defrost cycle.
Oh,
a couple of times an hour. And when that happens, the whole thing shuts off.
Yeah.
It reverses itself back to air conditioning mode to heat the outside coil to melt the ice, then switches itself back to heat mode and begins to function like a heater again.
Yeah.
This 10 to 15 minutes of defrost cycle in an old house with no insulation.
Yeah. Sucks.
Is a killer, especially when you're if you're down, if you're like, we're good down to like about 30 degrees. Lower than 30, it starts to drop off. Then if you get into the teens, you're toast.
Yeah,
I mean, like, well, I woke
you're
up.
You're not toast, actually.
You're not. Yes,
you're frozen.
You're a popsicle. I woke up, so and they run all the time, constantly. We're running space heaters. My power bill is like $35 a day right now.
Mm, wow.
And I woke up Wednesday and our bedroom was like 48 degrees.
You know, it is. You could just brutal. Be a real man and heat your house with 17 terahash of Bitcoin mining power.
Yeah, it would only cost me $28,000.
No, it's not. Well, we have, I think we have $9 a kilowatt, $0.09 a kilowatt hour. Mm-hmm. So I have the miners in the garage, and the garage has been okay. I mean, without it would have been freezing. And so that's how I heat the garage. And in the summer, the garage is really warm. It's really toasty.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have a traditional HVAC system, and it also does not perform very well under 15 degrees. Then you have to put it on. The fan has to be on constantly. It starts to make this... this sound, the compressor makes this weird sound, and it's apparently a good brand unit, and I've had the guy over. I remember last winter I had him over, and he said, oh yeah, no, they just don't work well under 15 degrees. So what's the point?
Now, is yours a gas furnace or is it a heat pump?
It's heat
with
pump.
With gas backup.
With gas backup, yes. And yes, we do have propane, not gas. We have a propane fireplace. So that heats up the most of the house because it's all open floor plan. So that heats up house nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. We only had one day where, you know, we woke up and it was 66, which is the temperature we have when we sleep. But then it went down to 63, 60, started going down. It came back up again.
It's going back down into the teens again in the next couple of days. And I wake up this morning and the power's going nuts, lights going on and off. That cycle issue that I've been having forever.
Yeah.
Finally got a power company guy to come out today
And squirrel, he said, squirrel on the line.
No, they found a bad neutral to the transformer.
Oh, that'll do
and
it.
And so, yeah, he said it should be good to go right now. Cause I was like, oh man, if we lose power, we're so screwed. Yeah. You know?
Well, that's why I have the generator.
Give me fossil fuel any day of the week please.
No, it's a scam. You know, they would say, oh, it's going to be freezing rain. I saw no rain, no precipitation at all. I said, this is not coming. And of course it didn't, but they jacked up the prices. It's all ERCOT. Yeah. And and we have a generator. And of course, you know, the generator is to ensure that your power pretty much never goes out ever again, which is what it did. Power didn't go out. So, you know, the generator's just sitting there. I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm waiting for it. You know, for the big apocalypse. It didn't come. But that's okay. It was nice and toasty inside. I eked out a boosted grand ball, which I hadn't done in over a week, which I was really happy about.
Congratulations. It made me smile to see it drop.
Did you listen to it or you just watched it drop?
No, I just watched it drop and then I went about my business.
did something productive with your day.
Yeah, I resumed my can of spray foam insulation trying to not die. Yes.
Anyway, there was all kinds of stuff going on. I think the SplitKits database provider had some issue and it was very hard troubleshooting everything. I was like, what's going on? You know,
cause, database on the SplitKit problem.
That's yeah. New. Yeah. It came back up. Okay. It worked out okay. But just speaking, what are we drinking? Show beer.
Oh, this is not at lunch break. No, this is a mineral water.
Yeah, what kind? What's the
calorie
brand?
Calorie free. Yeah. It is a polar seltzer.
Mm-hmm. Does it have natural flavors?
It has no flavors. It says it's premium, naturally calorie free. This is the flavor of this is original.
But it doesn't have the ingredients, natural flavors, because this is the scam that
I've
been.
It does not.
Okay, because that's anything but natural flavors.
The ingredients say carbonated water.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And following along with podcastindex.social, I saw that Wavelake, all of a sudden, as you say, entered the room. What did they do? What did they do exactly?
Well, they put channel level value blocks in. So they have, you know, they've never had channel level value blocks. Everything's been at the episode level. And it had something I never fully understood, but Michael said it just has something to do with the way they were, just the way their system was built, that it was kind of hard for them to do a channel level value block. And so, you know, I tried to make it work a little bit. I thought I could. Well, let me go back and say the problem with that. It's not a humongous problem for most apps, but there's a couple of apps like Breeze that really did struggle with this because.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the way the podcast index database is set up with value blocks, there's two different tables. There's a value blocks. There's a news feeds value block table, and then there's an items, slash episodes value blocks table that have relationships. And so the way, like, for instance, the way Breeze works is it only shows value enabled feeds. You know, it's not a general purpose player. If it doesn't have a value block,
it doesn't show up. I get it.
Yeah. And so the API calls for searching value enabled feeds just wouldn't return anything because technically weren't value enabled feeds. They were value enabled episodes. So that never really got resolved. And so now that's all fixed. So now Breeze should have all the music.
So I was listening to the episode one of Waveform. That's the podcast that Sam and Michael do.
I haven't heard it yet.
But if you could look at that feed for a second, because you know, I'm only look on. Granted, I'm looking at it Podcast Guru, which has always been spot on for me, and it has. I mean, I know they played at least two songs, but and they said that you know they were splitting the V for V, but I see they have one value time split. one, but not the, I mean, it seemed like they were having some issues with their value time. And I don't, also don't think they have their podcast set as medium equals music. No, it wouldn't be medium equals music. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Okay, anyway, looking at the item level and they have a value.
They have a value time split in there. They have one.
No, they have two.
Oh, they do. Cause I don't, only one showed up. Maybe that's something with,
I have two of them.
Yeah. Are they both 99%. Valid? Are they both valid? Because I only one shows up for me, which I thought was weird.
In Podverse?
Podcast Guru is what I was looking at.
Podcast Guru. Let me check. Let's see. Let me check Castomatic. Because Castomatic's got a pretty clear... clear on its UI.
And while you're looking at that, I'm delighted that they're making these changes, because they can be so important in the value verse. I keep saying using this word. They can be so important in the value verse by just being a great music host. You know, because they understand how to speak to artists, and they've got the vibe going. Then I was listening to them on the podcast, and there was a lot about Noster. I'm like, it just frustrates me, because then I see Zebedee is they're the big Noster wallet guy, right? Zebedee. That's who, and they're promoting music playlists on Fountain. So looks like some capitulation there.
Zebedee is?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they got video ads running on Twitter.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
promoting Fountain.
Well, they make it look like, honestly, at first I was like, is Zebedee not? I mean, this looks like Fountain, but it's Zebedee. Now it's Zebedee.
Yeah, and Zebedee's their back end now.
Yeah, right? And then at the very end, it says, it has the Fountain logo next to Zebedee. But they kind of make it look like you create a playlist on Fountain, you get paid.
Oh, you do, right?
I don't know. But that must be a Fountain specific thing.
Yeah, I think. Okay. Yeah, I think it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it is. Now I think you do get a cut, and then I think Sam Sethi said that True Fans is doing that too. If you make playlists.
Oh, okay. That's smart.
You get a cut. Yeah.
But then can I subscribe to that playlist in a different app, or is it only
now that
Fountain?
I don't know.
And True Fans. See, that's where I'm like, oh, make it available so you can share it with everybody. Otherwise you're kind of making the Spotify mistake. Spotify thought they could keep it all, but you need the whole ecosystem.
Now, this is interesting. Stephen B says, we found out Zebedee doesn't work in Florida because of state regulations. How is that based on IP geolocation?
No, I think it works, but you can't take sats out of Zebedee. I think it
that's
works.
So messed up. This is so messed up.
Yeah. Well, yes, correct. It's messed up. Absolutely.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Really? In New Hampshire? So you can't transfer sats. That's it. Yeah. You can send them, right? You can use the wallet to send. You just can't transfer it out of the wallet into something. Yeah. Oh, you can't boost. Wow.
Wow. That's crazy. I had no idea that there was that they have to be doing geolocation.
Well, to be honest, who needs Florida? Come on.
Which is, it's really, the appendix of the United States. It's just hanging there, not doing much.
That's messed up. Hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I guess VPN would work.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's weird. Well, that's like a non-starter almost. That's weird.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it doesn't seem to be the case with Albi.
No. Well, they're in Germany. So they got a whole different thing going on there. Well, we'll run into these problems. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, the point being, the music stuff feels like it's working. You know, it's like people are drawing closer. I love seeing Wavelake doing something that makes it better. And I can only presume they're doing more. I'm just not feeling the heat from Noster. I mean, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not, granted, I'm a little biased because we follow J55 on the Noster bridge through podcastindex.social. And it just seems like he's the only guy. I know he's not, but it's like he's the only guy. And he's basically building everything into that app, everything, you know, the database, the search, it's all in one app. And that's unless you have that app, you don't have any of the functionality. He's like it's like an app and a relay in one.
Noster is just it's hanging on by a thread. And if Domus goes, it's over.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I mean, you say that. I just don't know.
I guarantee you that 90% of the people who are on Noster are also on Twitter.
Oh, well, and Telegram. That's where they have a Telegram group to discuss development. So, yeah.
It seems like a fun hobby for them. That's what it seems like. It seems like a fun hobby for Bitcoiners to try to build this thing, and that's fine, but it's not, I don't see this thing having, I have no confidence that Noster will still be around 5 years from now.
In a way, it's kind of the same issue that ActivityPub has, as you know, ActivityPub is universally seen as the Mastodon thing. Mm-hmm. And the social network Noster is seen as what Noster is, even though Noster clearly can be much more a universal login. You know, there's a lot of benefit to some of that.
Yeah. We've hit the first problem with the whole Noster thing, right? You know, this week. So Alex Gleason he's working on Noster. He's the one that built the Noster bridge and all that. Mm-hmm. He's doing a lot of Noster work. And he was like, well, how do I get podcasts? Like, how do I get the value information so that we can zap podcasts when they come through the bridge?
Right. Wait a minute. Yeah. So we're going from the podcast index to the ActivityPub bridge to the Noster bridge.
Through the Noster bridge, yes.
Sexy. Okay, that's super interop, except when it comes out the other end on the Noster bridge, we lost everything. The resolution is very low because we don't have splits.
That's it. And that's where it all falls apart. It's because you have a podcast with six splits in it, different people getting paid. You can't, there's no way to zap that. You can't, it just all falls apart. To my knowledge, they still have no sense of a true split, and all that stuff is just a mess.
It's so weird because I've seen the proposals. I've seen the Spectrum proposal from Gigi.
Yeah, but see, that was just an article saying we need this.
Oh,
nobody's fully baked it yet in a way that's not a centralized solution. I mean that you could, so like the Prism thing is what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so there's been other things that are like a centralized Prism service where you can send this thing to them and they'll do some sort of splitting for you. But that's like it's just a service. That's a product.
When the podcast comes through, take it to the bridge. Comes through the bridge, then goes to the Noster bridge. Can't it take the payment information along and just translate those? I mean, yeah, you'd have to zap them individually, I guess. It seems like the only way you could do that.
Well, it's all LNURL. This is another core problem with Noster and zapping and all this kind of stuff is it's built by the LNURL people. And so there's been a commitment to LNURL over Keysend from day one. And so it's a more complicated thing. You can't just grab a node ID and send money. You have to go through this handshake rigmarole of getting an invoice for every payment you want to make. So I feel like they've hamstrung themselves with this dedication to LNURL. Whereas if it was just a bunch of key sends, a bunch of key sends, yeah, that's easy. You just get a list of address and key send it.
Right.
I mean, like, it's literally the value block is what is all you need. And you can just, app can just pop.
Right. Because the LN URL, you have to have some interaction with the wallet. You have to say yes, pay. Or it sends back an invoice, and then you have to enter the amount and then pay. Is that the difference?
Yeah, you got to look at, you got to resolve the address, make a call to the LN URL layer on top of the node, ask for an invoice for the amount you're going to send, wait for the invoice to be generated, then pay the invoice. So you have to ask the receiving party to give you an invoice before you can send the payment.
So I saw on the namespace discussion, which I try to stay away from because it's really bad for my health. Anything GitHub is like, I don't want to be there. I saw there was quite a discussion about LN URL pay and this kind of flows into phase 7. So we might as well get ready to talk about that. I saw Roy chiming in. There was all kinds of discussion about how to handle the well-known address.
This must have happened yesterday, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, I might have been looking at something from 2 months ago, for all I know. Let me see. Podcast namespace. Let me just take a look.
Because I lobbed a comment in there about, can we get some confirmation? Oh, yep. Yeah. Okay, I see. I missed the replies. Okay.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, okay. So I had lobbed in a comment about, in order to have the Lightning address in there, we need, I just wanted confirmation of how apps were going to handle paying through the Lightning address or the KeySend address, using Albi. I just wondered can I tell applications that are going to, like Cast-O-Matic, that don't have a backend server and depend on Albi's API, can I tell Franco that he will now or in the future be able to rely on Albi to do the key send address resolution rather than having to do it on device?
So what I read here is that Roy was saying that the LN address spec should be extended to support multiple send options. So this seems like we're going into a little different realm than just something for the namespace, for our namespace.
Let's see.
Down at the bottom there.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, but I missed all these replies. I'm kind of seeing this for the first time.
You can't parse that and immediately understand and tell me what's going on? I'm so disappointed.
Well,
Dave Jones.
I already immediately understand it. Boomy from Albi says no, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do what?
Address resolution.
Oh, so it has to happen on the app.
On device, yeah.
On device, which is bad.
Well, you know, I mean,
open to interpretation.
Boomy and are we losing people here? I mean, do we need to bring people up to what this means? Like, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to have some kind of esoteric discussion where people are like, what the hell are they talking
as
about?
As opposed to everything else we do on this show? Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough.
No, please. Okay. Yes. Update us because it is part of phase 7. We are now entering the hot namespace talk.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
You want to just take them in order? I think this is number one, isn't it? Let me see.
Sure.
Let me see what, now you have an order here. Phase 7. Phase 7 of the namespace. It's number 3 on the list, but since we're talking about it, number 3 of phase 7 for the namespace is key send address.
Okay. So a value in the podcast value block currently, where you define who's going to get paid, the spec defines a value recipient. And the value recipient has a type. The only one available right now is a type of node, is the type node.
Right. And then you can have as extra parameters the special key and the secret code.
Yes. So you can have the public So this, you have the node ID of the Lightning address of the Lightning node you're sending the money to, and an optional custom key, custom value for routing if you're sending to a multiple wallet node provider like Albi or Fountain or
right
whoever, Satoshi Stream, whatever. So then that's, so essentially you have an address which has a long hexadecimal, it's like a BEC32 or whatever that code is, which is your node address. That's what is currently all, that's the way this all works. There's no resolving that happens. You're like, here's the node ID, send it this many sats. Done. What's being proposed is changing that to something where there's a name instead of a node ID, so that there's a resolution step that has to happen. You have to resolve the name into its corresponding node ID.
Right.
And that's to make it where in the future, if wallet providers like Fountain or Albi or whoever,
just so we know, this was a request from Fountain and Albi.
Oscar tossed the ball up and Albi bounced, you know, they bumped, kept in the air. So they both need this, or, you know, and I understand the need. I think they're legit, is a legitimate need on their part. They do not want to go through the pain of having to deprecate a node ID, because there's potentially hundreds of feeds out there that have this that are hard, that people are hard to get in touch with. Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense. I get it. The consequence though of doing that, and it's not a deal killer, it just means we all need to have our eyes open. The consequence of doing that, as I've mentioned before, is that now an app has to do the resolution. So if you have a value block with 10 splits in it, now you have to resolve potentially 10 different ten different API HTTP calls before you can even start paying.
And so I'm just going to make it simple because I'm the dummy. That means there's a Adam at Fountain and .fm, and it's an HTTP call. Oh, it better be HTTPS, otherwise Google would get angry.
It will be.
Yeah, there's another thing can go wrong, expiring certs. And then that basically resolves to a text file that gives the information, as previously mentioned, node ID and the custom key and the routing information. That's basically what's in that text file. Or it's an LN URL pay thing. That's the key difference there. No, that's not there. Okay.
The LN URL has nothing to do with this. Okay. Request. It has nothing to do with this.
Okay. Got it.
And that was confusion at the beginning because the proposed name for this was LNURLP for the address resolution, but that it was a misnomer that LNURL has nothing to do with it.
Okay, got it.
So we got past that, and you know, the issue here is the thing I don't like about it, and again, none of these are deal killers. I want to put this in the spec. I think it is a good idea. I'm nervous about introducing HTTP to what is not necessarily an HTTP based thing.
Because right now all the apps have to do is talk to the API and say, here's the split addresses, go at it. And now there would be an extra step that has to be put in, which is the resolution, correct?
Right.
Okay.
So imagine this is a little bit, this concern of mine is obscured by the fact that most all the apps use Albi, or Fountain uses a different provider. But consider an app like Breeze. Mm-hmm. Now, I know this doesn't necessarily apply to Breeze because Roy is okay with this. He's okay with LNURL and these kinds of things. He's going to make that work. But what I'm saying is, consider an app like that where it speaks Lightning natively. And you can, so what you have is a Lightning address, excuse me, what you have is a node ID for the receiving payment. And you have an app that can speak Lightning natively. And so that is a Lightning native transaction from start to finish. Now, what you've done is you've introduced an address that has to be resolved. So what was a pure Lightning native transaction from soup to nuts is now interrupted with an HTTP transaction in order to get the Lightning address that you need to finish the Lightning transaction.
Right. So it really goes from something that was very elegant to okay, do we cache these? Do we, you know, it adds overhead. It can fail.
The caching would be critical because you really don't like, you can't, most apps do not want the overhead of having to make potentially 10 or 20 even address resolution lookups every minute that they're going to be sending payments.
Okay. We know this for a fact. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Cause what do I know?
Yeah. Like caching is absolutely going to be necessary mm-hmm. for some period of time. And it's, you know, for sat streaming, for the streaming per minute stuff, you're just going to have to cache the address. And like, it's none of this is like the end of the world. But there's some sort of purity problem I have with this where, you know, and I'll get over it, believe me, but there's something, you know, it just doesn't feel as clean to me because I've never really liked the whole LNURL thing to begin with because we bring HTTP in to solve a bunch of problems that it's sort of like a Band-Aid we stick on top of things. And I'm just not crazy about that. I guess the reason I've been hem-hawing around and not really and haven't pulled the trigger yet is two reasons. One is I need a story to tell to app developers like Franco. It's like, okay, Franco, here, you're going to start seeing these come through. You're going to, once this goes into the spec, you're going to start seeing Lightning addresses, key send addresses come through. And here's how you're going to handle it. So people are going to have to make changes to their apps across the board. I mean, and so it's easy to propose a spec, but then I'm the one that has to tell the story to the developers when they say, okay, what is this stuff?
So let me ask you a question. Why doesn't, since like you said, Boomi had answered that, why doesn't Albi want to do that? Why don't they want to do the resolution? Because of the overhead. I'm just presuming.
I think we should not rely on wallet payment providers to implement parts of the spec, and it should be independent.
But they're the ones requesting it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, like I said, this will happen. I mean, I'm probably just do it. I mean, like it's not, we've been waiting around too long already and it just needs. Utility of this.
We need, I do too, believe me. And even though I have plenty of my own nodes, I also hook stuff up to Albi, no doubt about it.
Sure.
But I'm also prepared to immediately switch that, if mm-hmm. you know, which I don't think most of these apps could even do. I would happily switch that to my own node, which, yeah, I know, I think I can do it through the Albi extension, maybe. I don't know. My fear is I just don't want to lock us into boxes that if Albi goes away, then what? Then we have to create wallets that, if it's wallet side, then none of the wallets will be, you know, my node won't be able to do that at home. So something will have to be built.
Well, where the proposal currently stands now is, and I think we'll probably just go with this. I mean, like, you know, I don't know, maybe even this week. Some it is that you have the key send address in there, and then you also have the node ID. And if you can't resolve the key send address, you just fall back to the node ID and pay, make the payment like you always have, or attempt it as you always have. But that seems like the best compromise I can think of. You know, basically it just allows for an extra attribute in the value recipient tag, which is a key send address. And the keys, and if you see the key send address and your app supports that feature, you've built the code that does the caching and the resolution and everything, well, then look it up. Do a lookup. I guess I wish there was some way to do this natively within the Lightning Network where we wouldn't have to jump to HTTP. That's really what I'm after. And I just don't know that it's a thing that can be done. I wish there was a native name resolution that can happen that was native to Lightning.
Well, for sure. I think the one thing we kind of need is some more app developers in this particular thread. Mm. We need to hear from them. You know, I don't see a single app developer except Roy chiming in on this thread.
Well, no, there was some. Franco's chimed in.
Oh, he has? Okay.
Yeah.
What'd Franco say? No problem.
Well, he said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
But which is understandable, you know.
I don't want to break things. I don't want apps to fall down because, you know, we implement something that someone said up front. I don't want to do it.
Well, no, I mean, I think he's saying he doesn't want to be forced to do all the lookups on device. But if we have this if we have the fallback as the, you know, to. I don't know.
If we have the fallback, sure. But that fallback, people are going to be putting their key send addresses in their feeds, and they're not going to have a fallback. It's just going to be, oh, here's your address. This is what Albie says you are, and you use this.
Well, they're going to fail on some apps. I mean, they'll have to know that if they're not following the spec, then they're going to fail on some apps. So essentially, the way the spec proposal is now is basically, is basically that the value recipient thing does not change. Everything that's required is still required. You just have a fallback of being able to do a resolution if paying to the node fails. So it's basically just like,
so you need to enter two values now. You have to enter.
You don't have to. You can.
Okay.
It says that you can enter a Lightning address.
Okay.
And some providers will do that. You know, if then so like imagine this is easier to understand if you imagine a feature scenario like this. Fountain changes their node. And so now all of the podcaster wallets that are hosted on Fountain, they now have to change their node address in their feed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why it's being done.
For the value recipient. So in that scenario, if those podcaster wallets in their value recipient tags in their feeds also had a Fountain key send address defined, then when apps tried to send a payment to the node ID and it failed, meaning the node disappeared and went away, they could then attempt the address lookup to find what the new node ID is.
Okay.
So, I got you. Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is not something that I think we're.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
There's no sticking points.
That actually sounds. Maybe I just want to play back what I think I heard you say. Because you could also make it, and this might be the easier way. So I sign up with GetAlbie. GetAlbie gives me a node ID and the routing information, that information pair. And they also give me adam@getalbie.com. And then I would say, look up the node ID first. The app just says, oh, node ID. Okay, boom. If it fails, then do a quick lookup and see, is it the correct node ID?
Yes.
So instead of lookup always, look up if fail.
Say that last part again.
Okay. So instead of always do the lookup, which is the main problem. People are like, oh, I don't want to do the lookup. Say if the payment fails, which could be for a number of reasons, but if the payment fails, then do a lookup on the name to see if the node ID is still correct.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That, okay. That seems like a reasonable solution. I mean, it's not great. People still have to add stuff to their app, but that may be a kind of a good compromise.
Yeah, I don't see anything that's going to keep us from doing it. Yeah, I don't see.
Well, I want people arguing in the GitHub. That's a lot more fun. There's not enough arguing. People haven't called anyone Hitler yet. So we got to get to that point, people, before we can make a decision.
Yeah, we've only had one person called a prick in the last 72 hours. So this we're below
only one. We're below this quota. Is horrible. We got to step it up, people.
Yeah, we're way below quota.
Okay,
there's like other a reasonable stuff in here idea. I'm glad you brought my attention to this because I have not checked this morning. I mean, I tossed that comment in there yesterday, and there's a flurry of activity, so I need to catch up with what's being proposed because there's some kind of new like format. So yeah, okay, but I think we're good. I mean, I think we can do this. Okay,
we'll figure that out. All right, good. Next point. Let's go back to the beginning of Fave 7.
Already.
Come on. We haven't done a proper namespace chat, and you said, here's Fave 7, the plan.
Okay, it's my fault.
It's your fault. I mean, unless you want me to bitch about Sam Sethi, I can do that for a minute if you want a little interim.
What? Is that in the namespace? Is that in Fave 7?
No, it's not, but we'll get to that.
I didn't see bitch about Sam Sethi.
Your homework. You didn't listen to the weekly review.
I have not listened.
Oh, okay. Which apparently is number one on Good Pods. It's the best podcast ever.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Sam. Pour another glass of wine. I'm coming back to you, brother. publisher, medium, and feeds.
Okay.
But it's all right. What is that? I forget.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing that where you have the pub, you know, you have a publisher feed that defines children feeds. So, you know, right. you're
the meta feed.
You would have an overall no agenda, you know, like an Adam Curry publisher, no agenda, you know, Adam Curry is the publisher feed. And then you would define No Agenda, Podcasting 2.0, MoFax, Curry and the Keeper, all as child feeds. And then those child feeds would have a link back to the publisher feed so that you have a double confirmation.
Now, do we have any example of this being created? Who is creating these? Is there a host that is creating these?
Ooh, I don't know about a host. Maybe Dovidos?
Because what was our kind of unwritten rule? One host, two apps?
Yeah, right. Yeah. We've got, I mean, not, on that part, I don't think that'll be a problem. I think we'll have two or three hosts and two or three apps immediately.
This is more for music, right? So this is something we would hope Wavelake would implement.
Yeah. Dovidos proposed is what Nathan's saying. So that, I mean, he's obviously going to do it. And Stephen B's probably already done it.
Okay. So, but it seems
Sam
like
it's probably already done it.
Right. So it seems like for music, this is really great for music. I mean, for me, it's like, I don't necessarily need to have a publisher feed, but I can see this for music makes a lot of sense. I can see,
For music, for sure. That's the slam dunk, but I can see that, I think you might want to do it more than you think because it's really good for discovery, like in a true way, because now you're not just saying, so we've got these attempts at discovery that we've
always
had.
Waiting for Podroll to show up.
We got tons of Podroll.
Yeah. But what apps are surfacing them?
LN Beats. Ellen Beats is pulling pod rolls, right? I think.
I don't know.
But Buzzsprout's showing pod rolls all over the place.
No,
True Fans is showing pod rolls.
No, I, but I, no other apps that I use have, I'm waiting for an app that I use to say, oh, here's a couple other, here's some recommendations from this podcast. I know people are publishing. I mean, I'm publishing cross app comments. I mean, come on. I mean, there's lots of stuff that's being published. I'm just wondering if the apps, if any apps are showing it.
If they are, I have not gotten feedback.
Okay. Well, and I'm a big believer in,
is a no.
Yes. But I'm a big believer in publish first, and then, you know, that information, eventually an app might want to implement that. So it's just a reminder that we have these things that people can put into their UI and their UX and make cool stuff. And so when you say discovery, that's when I just go, oh, really? Well, I'm not discovering anything yet because the apps I use don't show me the pod roles.
Well, the pod role is not in the API, but there is, but I do publish it because it's a little bit, there's something. Okay. So there's some things like pod role that are a little awkward to publish as an API. They don't really feel API-ish because it's just a big long list of like, it's almost like a database. You know what I mean? Like it's just a big humongous list of things that changes all the time. And I mean, it's not like you're, I don't know. It seems odd to publish as an API response. So what I do with a lot of things like that, it's like the stats, thing. I don't publish that necessarily in the API. I just publish those to an object storage location with a URL. And so you can just ping the URL every so often and get the new updated stats, and you can get the new updated pod roles, and you can get the new updated value for value music chart. And there's a lot of stuff like that. It just doesn't feel very API like. So that's so those things are out there. If anybody, let me see if I need to make those. You know, here's an issue. I need to make the locations of some of these things because we publish tons of stuff at different URLs,
like undocumented stuff.
Yeah, and it's just, I'm like, hey, here's this thing. Here's where it's going to be, and it's just a. Toot.
Okay. Hey, that's documentation. It's in yeah, your timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, here it is. And that's not really sufficient. So we probably need some sort of dedicated resource that shows where these non-API locations are so people know where to look.
Okay. So pod role is not in the API.
Pod role is not in the API, but we are publishing aggregated pod role data that anybody can use in their app.
Aggregated. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Cause we went through it. Where was
it?
I don't even remember where it is.
Right. But does it not make sense to add pod role to the API if you really want to do discovery? So, you know, apps that are using the API can say, here's some data. Let me find a place to put that.
Well, it should probably be put in the API documentation, even if it's not in the API itself. Because really, you know, I mean, these locations, these object storage locations, they're still part of, it's still the services we offer. And so it should be all discoverable through the same, channel, which is the API documentation.
Right, but there's nothing to document because we don't have it yet.
No, we got it.
No, we have aggregated, but we don't have. Do we have individual? So if I ask the API for the feed information from Podcasting 2.0, at no point does the API return the pod role that I've put in there.
I don't think it does yet.
Okay, well then that would explain why most people aren't adding that. I guess.
This is going to sound crazy, but I lose track of what I do.
No, that doesn't sound crazy at all. Not at all. No, it doesn't. No, seriously. I love you, brother. I'm just, you know why I'm here. I'm here for the chicks. I'm here for the chicks.
There's so many chicks.
No, I'm just saying that you know, we return cross app comments in the API, right? We return the root post.
Yeah.
Okay. So just like that, when we have a feature, which is something that's in the feed, which is the pod role, in order for that discovery mechanism to crank up, I think we need to add that to the information the API spits back when an app says, give me the latest, then it needs to be able to see, oh, pod role. Okay, I'm seeing all the, because, yeah, Buzzsprout has tons of pod roles in their feeds, but and the aggregated feed, which I should probably look at that. I mean, I don't know if there's a, I mean, if only JSON, I'm not going to be looking at it. But if there's, you know, looking at the aggregated stuff is nice. But for true discovery, very similar to this feature, to the publisher, it has to be coming from the API so the app developers can put that into their UI, I guess. That's is that, am I assuming correctly?
Yeah, it is. I wish I knew whether I'd already put this in the API or not.
No, but it doesn't matter whether you put it in or not. Do we agree it should be in the API so that's something that can be used?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree for sure. Yeah. Let me I can probably check. Let's see. Let me log in here. I can probably access.
And then, of course, you know, Crater would have to document it, et cetera. Obviously, all that stuff comes in. I love these features. Yeah. And, you know, and people can always do a lookup on the feed. But I think, you know, you look at probably the majority of the apps are relying on the API. And, you know, here's some great data that we should add.
No, see, Stephen Crater saves me from myself because I'll put something in and he'll be like, Hey. I'm not documenting this yet because of X, Y, and Z.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. I'm trying to find a feed that I know has a pod roll. Oh, Buzzcast. I know they have a pod roll.
So and this all stems from you said it's great for discovery. And then that just triggered me into say, I'm not discovering anything. And I'm not even discovering my own pod roll. Which I put in there. Yeah, I have a pod roll on this show, on No Agenda, on Currying the Keeper. Yeah, I put the pod rolls in.
Oh, we've got one.
Okay. Yeah, we got pod roll. We got pod roll.
Let's see. Okay, well, then I can check our feed then. 920666.
You know it by heart.
Oh, yeah. And No Agenda's 41504. There is no pod role being returned in the API. So is a negative.
All right. But there's one. Let me just make sure I'm not full of crap here. Hold on. Show info, pod role. Yes. I have
believe you.
New media show, pod news, weekly review. Look at this discovery.
You just discovered it. What are you complaining about?
I know. It's in my publishing app. Of course. That's where I discovered the stuff I put in there. It works perfectly.
Discovery is called view source.
View source.
Notepad.
Okay. So I think everyone agrees. Everyone likes the publisher.
Seen nobody complain about it.
No, but it would be great to have these things obviously in the API.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes sense.
Oh yeah. When the publisher stuff goes down, we'll for sure. This will be like a big circular karate chop. We'll just do all this, you know, we'll pod roll publisher. We'll just.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. All right. Yeah. All right. Good. Then authorization, which used to be known as an effing email address in your feed. Okay. So now we have podcast verify ownership.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
This is a mostly developed spec that never got finished. It never got proof of concept, proof of concepted. So basically I think where we're at with this one is we just need to, I got halfway through, more than halfway, like 75% of the way through building a proof of concept. But after I had a long conversation with Tom Rossi one day, as he drove down the coast of Florida, and we hashed this.
Were you playing Barry Manilow on the radio and while you were having this little chat?
Mandy. No. So we hashed it out, and then I had a way, we had a way forward, because he's the one that proposed like the spec, and the discussion thread is kind of a mess, but we did get sort of a consensus out of it. And then I got about 75% of the way through this proof of concept where I was going to bake this into Podcaster Wallet. I don't know why I got really excited about that. Wallet. And so it's like almost finished in there, but I just need to go back and finish it. So if I can make the Podcaster Wallet the proof of concept for the authorization spec, we're good. We're good.
And is it worth explaining how that authorization will work? Is that what is the workflow? No,
I forgot.
Just
I didn't forget really. No. It's there's some details that I'm not prepared to discuss because it's like a handshake. You're passing a token back and forth to just prove that you are who you are. Mm-hmm. You are who you say you are. But we'll. Like when I get off of the API bridge,
yeah, that's got you pretty engaged. So
we need to talk about that too.
Yeah. No, I have it on the list.
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to mention on truefans.fm, I go to podcasting 2.0, I go to the recommendations tab, and there's my pod roll.
So on what now?
I go to truefans.fm,
yeah.
The Sam Sethi platform, and I go to our show, Podcasting 2.0. There's a tab episodes, which is default, and there's one recommendations. I click on recommendations, and there are the four shows that I have in the pod roll. That's discovery. That's exactly. Now, Sam is pulling that from the feed.
Yeah.
Right. So for apps that don't pull from the feed, that's great. I love this. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easier than view source.
Yeah, it's a little prettier.
Which also works, but it's a longer process.
Yeah. So that's cool. And yeah, I'd love for apps to have that for sure.
Yeah. So authorization, I think we're, that's the thing with phase seven. There's a lot of stuff in here that
We've talked about a lot of these.
Yeah. Like these are things that are like half or more than halfway baked already. And we're going to have, I got Alex coming on the show next week to discuss categories.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can get, like music genres and these kinds of things. This is a thing that we've hashed out a lot. We've also got the content link spec to discuss. I'm going to grab Nathan and have him on the show if we can figure out a good time for him. So
can I ask two things about phase seven before we move on?
Yeah, sure.
So chat. Now because chat, as far as I know, there's one or two apps that just take the IRC version, but I see there's XMPP is in there. Okay. So they're, this is pretty well fleshed out. It just, no one has really implemented an XMPP chat as far as I know.
Yeah. Chat's another one that's like, I mean, it's like at least 75% done. I mean, if not, you know, like you can put a toothpick in that thing and there's nothing sticking to it. It's almost ready.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, there's a lot of phase seven is going to go when it's going to go fast when we get to that point where we start, you know, pulling the trigger on things.
Okay. All right. And then the other one was, and I saw a large discussion about categories.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about categories, and I don't want to talk about, content link because
content link is not in phase seven, is it? No.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, it is. I didn't see it.
Maybe
I don't see it.
I'm lying.
No, it's not in phase seven. At least
there it is.
No, I see.
Yeah, you're right. Wait, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Okay. I think it's not in there because I worked on everything last night. I think it's not in there because I read, by the time I got finished reading through all the comments, mm-hmm. I knew less than when I started.
So, all right. Category seems to still be up in the air about, I guess the main discussion is predetermined or not.
Right. And I think what everybody who has a real interest in this, I think wants it to be not.
Yeah.
They want these things to be free form.
Right. And if I recall from our discussion, we like that because when you take it to the bridge and you look at ActivityPub, the hashtags are not predetermined, but they're searchable. There's a whole universe of them already. There's an infrastructure that accepts the concept of, although you could argue whether it's a category or a topic, I think that's probably mm-hmm. something we could argue forever, but that was kind of the idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea was that the problem with the categories as they stand right now, and like I said, I don't want to get too deep into this, but the problem with them is there's a secret council you have to go to petition to get new categories.
And right. That's always a problem. Yeah.
And we don't want to just recreate that same problem. You know, mm-hmm. we want this thing to function as, like ActivityPub does, where, you know, things consensus builds naturally around a hashtag.
Yeah, which is what the whole world kind of has moved towards is hashtags.
Yeah, even email like Gmail has, it's just labels.
Yeah, exactly. Just the precisely. All right. I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to talk about namespace. It sounds like I made you uncomfortable.
No. That's not at all. It's just there was the stuff we did talk about. I think I was good to talk about the other stuff. I think it's too complicated. They like each one of those really needs its own like full show.
Oh boy. Wow. Okay.
You know, because
the whole show. No.
Like categories. Like we need Alex on here because he's
coming right end of the month.
Through.
We got him at the end of the month coming
next week.
Okay.
Next week.
Cool. That's the end of the month. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it went fast. It went real fast. All right, let's talk about the fedification because that's what you've been working on. That's where your head's at. I mean, I know it. I see it. You've been doing you were doing so many tests that I zoned out. I'm like, I don't know what to test. I don't know what's working. I'll stay away. And I could only make it worse by jumping in and saying something.
Yeah, so the latest that I put in was, what I did last night was I made some changes to add deep links to the apps. So now when a new episode post comes through.
Oh, that's what that was. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now and that's why you asked if the apps could make Mastodon profiles.
Or somebody else. Was it Mike Newman's?
No, it was. No, I think it was Stephen B. Yeah. Or Chad F. Or one of those dudes.
Chad F. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's thanks to Nathan's long list of deep link URL spec on GitHub. I was able to put that in there. The deep linking to episodes directly is a complete mess, and most apps use some sort of internal ID as the way to do that for the episode. Why they don't use an episode GUID, I don't know, or some sort of hash of the feed URL plus the GUID. I mean, it just seems a little odd to me that there's so many that use platform dependent identifiers, but whatever.
Okay. So I'm just looking here. Okay. So, where's the podcasting 2.0? Did we get a live thing? Hold on. Podcasting 2.0. Let me just take a look at there it is. Podcasting 2.0. It has, no, we didn't get a live item.
Okay. I'll check that.
That must be something that broke. So the idea is that in that post from that's podcasting is 920666 at ap.podcastingindex.org. That would have deep links to the podcast apps that's going to be included?
Look at the one from Pod News Daily this morning, the post that came through, because that has... And also there's episode image art in there and not just feed image art.
Oh, nice. Feed, okay.
Album art. Let me signal.
No, this wait, to that's you. Not okay. the right one. That's not the
there
right one.
There you go. One. I just sent it to you through Signal. Look at that and you'll see what it looks like.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Eric PP just posted it.
Nice. Yeah. That looks cool.
Yeah, so that's
very cool. Okay,
it's got lots of links to each of the individual. What I did was I put in links to 2.0 apps, open source apps, and apps that we have a relationship with. So, like, even though Overcast is not a 2.0 app, Marco donates to the show and he's supportive of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got
put him at the bottom.
This it's alphabetical order, no favoritism. Pocket Cast, we've got a decent relationship with those guys, even though they're not doing a whole lot yet. But so so that's in there. And then if you just fall back, you can just fall back to, you know, listening to the enclosure in the browser at the bottom, at the very bottom.
So yeah, listen.
That's
the listen. Yeah, link. Yeah.
So that's where. That's the latest thing that I've added, but we had a bunch of stuff this midweek and I kind of wanted to delve into this for a second.
Please.
Because the developer his handle is Silver Pill. He develops the ActivityPub software written in Rust called Mitra.
Yeah. I follow him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super helpful dude, helped a lot with getting stuff working. Because we were not, the bridge was failing he was trying to follow from Mitra a podcast and it just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being two different things. It ended up being a signature validation bug on his side and a type, a deserialization problem on my side. And you know, so we hashed it out over a few days and got it working. But you know, it made me start thinking about a lot of things with the bridge. And my original intent going into this week was, I got it halfway built, was to start recording a reply, you know, like noting replies. So we record the replies that happen so that we can give the replies back so people can use these as root posts.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm backing out of that.
Oh.
Back it up.
Beep.
Put out the orange cones. I'm backing up.
Okay.
And so there's a bunch of stuff going on here. I mean, number one, and not to be discounted, is what's going on with No Agenda Social. There's, you know, I think the ActivityPub Fediverse world is going, is seeing the need to go more towards much smaller instances.
Totally agree.
People need to have more, they need to have and or more ownership over their own presence. Over their own profile and smaller tribes. It's just these monumentally large instances, I think, are more they're causing more problems than they solve. And so there's the potential. And then, you know, I'm already thinking in this way. And then Spurlock throws in this thing, you know, I'm talking about replies and getting this stuff to work. And he says, he said something to the effect of, you know, the thing where the brain, like where you begin to get it with ActivityPub is that when you realize everything is local, pr- primarily everything is local first. Mm-hmm. Then things get federated out between instances. And, you know, and my reply to that was, you know, that's the issue with the ActivityPub bridge, with the podcast index AP bridge, is that there's nothing is local. I mean, there is no, you don't, nothing gets, there's no, even, there's not even a sense of local.
Yeah. If I follow it on my instance, psyopshop.com, mm-hmm. Then it's just, it's in the inbox there on my machine.
Right. Yeah. You got the post delivered to you. And there was never like the different podcast actors on the bridge. They don't talk to each other.
Right.
There's just nothing local about it. Everything is remote. These are just posts that are getting delivered to the instances, mm-hmm. where the people live.
Yeah.
So in that sense, that's kind of a great position to be in, really, because what's happening is the episodes are getting, let's just call these posts episodes. The episodes posts are getting delivered to all the instances. And then the instances, the people on the instance can do whatever they want with them. Mm-hmm. It now becomes up to the individual tribe to react and deal with that post whichever way they want. And so, like, if you have a post, if you have an ActivityPub instance with a whole bunch of people who are, anti-climate change or climate change advocate, or I don't even know what you
deniers.
Call deniers. No, not the opposite of deniers. Confirmers. Climate change.
Wait, hold on.
Accelerationists.
Let me shortcut. Maybe let me see if I understand this. What you're saying is it makes more sense that if podcastindex.social publishes an episode and then I'm subscribing to that on my own instance, then people responding to that quote unquote root post, that those responses are primarily for them, for that local instance. And there may be a whole different set of conversations going on Mastodon.social on that same episode post.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you have
That's interesting.
You have Michael Schellenberger who's on a podcast as a guest. Mm-hmm. That podcast, and you have somebody on climateaccelerationist.social who follows that podcast, and you have somebody on climatedeniers.social who follows that podcast. And so that podcast,
you could have two different comment threads.
Yeah, that are not even related to one, like they don't interact.
Wow. And so,
whereas if we sort of bridge the gap between and start recording all these replies and giving them back, all we're doing is becoming the flashpoint for
crap. You know,
for problematic. Garbage.
I'm with you here. Okay. So. Okay, I'm not quite sure what root post I put into my feed. That's kind of irrelevant for the moment. Mm-hmm. But okay, so you have two distinct different instances, Mastodon instances, just making it, you know, Pleroma, what, it doesn't matter. And so the accelerationists, they have their thread. And then, so one person, I guess whoever, someone subscribed to that podcast on their, on Mastodon, so the decelerationist thread,
right?
And they comment. Is there ever a moment where those comments can cross over, or does that mean that someone has to comment from the decelerationist on the accelerationist thread?
If the only time there would be a crossover is if somebody was intentionally mentioned, if somebody's handle, so if somebody from the climate,
I think this is the most genius thing I've ever heard, and I'll tell you why. This is exactly why TikTok is successful. Hmm. TikTok is successful because their algorithm bundles people who are in agreement instead of what X does, which is throw in people who disagree and create activity of people fighting. I like this a lot because now you can have two different conversations in quote unquote tribes. You can always tag somebody and then you can bring stuff in. But I think it will be much more successful in the way you just described it. That's really mind blowing.
Yes, I think by default, if we do not track replies and return them as part of the post request, we do not get involved in the moderation cycle at all because right. we don't actually contain any of this content, and there's by default no cross pollination between these different tribes. Unless they intentionally seek it out.
I think that is genius. Well, because it removes so much of the problem.
The hostility, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're just going to get that. I mean, you're just going to get tons of it. Then you can still create that if, you know, people do that anyway, cross instance. I mean, hello, milkmaid.post or dot club, whatever you are.
I don't even know what that is.
Don't even want to know. Okay. But, you know, so people can still... you know, can still have that true cross community comment thread, but they don't have to. I think that's really interesting. Now, I don't know how podcasters will feel about that. I personally love it. You know, I probably won't even be able to know what people are saying somewhere else.
Well, here's how it would look in practical terms for a podcaster who's doing something like this with cross-app comments, who's employing this with cross-app comments. They make a post to their instance. So they're going to be, you know, they're going to be in control of this. They make a post to their local instance and they follow their own podcast on the ActivityPub bridge. Mm-hmm. And so then they set that as the root post on their episode. Mm-hmm. And now their copy of that episode is now the root post. So now everything they become the owner in effect
of everything
that's attached to that.
So it's no longer
attached to the AP bridge. Now it's attached to their instance.
So I'll see everything in my instance.
Right. And you can moderate
everything
too, because you're there. It's your
instance. It's my instance. Right. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The everything is local thing was just an offhand comment by Spurlock, but it really does. It's the answer to the way all of this needs to happen. Because I just need the answer
to the question that's been on my mind.
I think that's the way we need to go. I think I'm just going to bail out of replies. I don't think we need to be involved.
But this is actually almost by definition, this solves everything. This solves all the problems we had with cross app comments. Granted, it's quote unquote limited to ActivityPub. But I think ActivityPub is one of the most important technologies, cross application technologies that has ever been developed in my lifetime.
I fully agree. And I think if we do things right, I think that RSS and ActivityPub are native bedfellows. I think they are complementary to one another. And I think that we can sort of glue these things together in a way that's pretty kick ass.
Oh man, I love it.
The next step beyond this is, you know, is putting things into your feed that you want to be expressed in ActivityPub. So the feed is the source of truth. The ActivityPub bridge will just express
the truth,
things that are in your feed. Yeah. In a way that makes sense to ActivityPub. So if you have, like, for instance, we need, there's a, in the social interact tag, you have that notion of a user account, you know, where it's like a, you know, what's your user account?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can pass through.
Right.
And now you get mentioned, in there, or you become like, when it's like, okay, you, now you're the owner of this feed and that's being expressed. So now you could do a rel equals me.
Yes.
You could on your site.
As your ownership right there. Oh man.
That's prove ownership.
You know, yeah. I think the kids call this based.
That's what the kids are saying these days. AP is based.
Hey, yeah. you want to take a little breather and play a song? You did say you missed that on the last show. So
I love a song.
Yes, this is a new hotshot on the scene.
Nice.
It's yet again a young woman in the arena of Ainsley Costello. And she's skipping all the bases. No, this is not the skipping all the bases girl. This is Abby Muir, M-U-I-R. She's from Sweden. The song starts off right away. So I will kick it in just a minute. If you're listening on the split kit, you can boost. If you're listening in CurioCaster. And what else? I think does Fountain and Podcast Guru, they do live boost now as well with value time split, I think.
Yep.
Think so?
Yeah, that's right.
This is the song aptly titled Stockholm.
My dear, you could throw me in the cell and tell me the world was ending. Go into detail, just how it ended for me. I would still stay, no ropes around my hand. Just tell me you love me and I'm chained to your command. I love the way your mean and voice, your hate and your touch. The way Ellen spit my name is toxic, but I'm used to it being this way. So I'll find the beauty in calling you baby. Screaming things out, people usually wouldn't say. And I'm over my head in blood that I've bled, in time that I've spent. But I'd do it again, you could leave me dead. And I still love the way your mean and voice, your hate and your touch. The way Ellen spit my name is toxic, but I'm used to it being this way. So I'll find the beauty in
killer.
She reminds me of what's that chick's name? Dora. Remember Dora? I think she was Dora. German. Dora. She had kind of those songs that would just start off like da, 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 bah, bah, I dig it.
It's just a backhand. It just baits you in and gives you a backhand.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Abby Muir, Stockholm. Yeah, everybody. And that will, of course, hit the podcast index.top chart. Well, what are we up to today?
Is it on the chart yet?
Let me see. We are today.
Top 129.
We're the top 129. Oh, Abel and the Wolf is top of the chart today. Look at that.
Ooh, light wine.
Stockholm is number six.
Okay, we'll drive that one up.
Yeah.
L.A. Sugar.
Yeah, I played L.A. Sugar. Songs. I played L.A. Sugar the other day. And Marina Usk is also very cool. I love the, wow, I can't, like wine, man. They got some plays.
That's excellent. That's pretty rad. 111 boosts.
Yeah, that's, or events. Events, Dave.
Events.
Events. Yes, events. Events. Very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah, the value verse is alive and kicking, people. It's alive and kicking.
Now available on Breeze.
Yes. I saw that Andrew Grummet's PWA was boosting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think people... Can you explain who Andrew Grummet is? Because there was confusion.
There was confusion?
Sam and James did not know who he was.
Oh, my God. They should have Andrew Grummet on their show. Andrew Grummet was one of the first guys to show up when I started Daily Source Code and put out the Apple script. And he came in, and I think he was part of the iPod or Lemon group. And they were building that, and that was a Windows app. And Andrew was, you know, a kind of a lead developer. It's so fuzzy for me. I don't really remember. But Andrew was such an important part that when I started Podshow, he was employee number one. And brought him in, and we did a lot of fun stuff together. Andrew's a great guy. We'd check in from time to time. I kind of lost track of him. Then all of a sudden he shows up and he's interested in progressive web apps. And so he's been building a whole progressive web app system. He's a guy that, I'm telling you, Pod News Weekly Review, may I suggest Andrew Grummet as a great guy to have on for a piece of the podcast history that has been poorly told.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. And he was around. I remember him because he also bounced around a little bit with the Dave Weiner circles mm-hmm. and that kind of mm-hmm. thing. I remember him from that. I met him later, just through, you know, chats and stuff like that. But I didn't realize that he had been with you in Podshow.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the first guy I hired. I'm pretty sure he was number one. Yeah.
Let me say one more thing about the bridge.
Take it to the bridge.
So the way the formatting looks right now, on the posts, if anybody would like to tackle making that look better, because clearly, I mean, as I've said 1,000 times, I'm not a designer. I don't know how to do very good at this. If you can take, because there's formatting issues here, like title and description that gets truncated, and it's just kind of messy. I would like to make it look good.
Is there a place they can do a PR?
You could do, it wouldn't be you'd have to know Rust to do the PR, but you could do.
That's no problem. I know Rust.
Oh, that's right. I taught you. That's right. You're good.
I'm dev man now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So yeah, you just send your changes to Adam. He can do a PR on the repo. if you send it as like an issue or something like that in the bridge repo, just make it look good. And then because there's a limit, there's a limited set of HTML that Mastodon supports. So if you take whatever comes out of the show notes has to be sort of like morphed into this acceptable HTML in a way that doesn't
end up looking
gross. Oh,
that's always tough with the
you're right.
Yeah, that's always difficult to make that look good. That's one of the main problems all of the websites have. You know, like Podpage, I think struggles with that all the time. It's like, mm-hmm. how do I take what someone just jacked into their feed and make it usable?
Yeah, and when it's coming out of Freedom Controller,
oh yeah, it's great.
OPML it's great. To HTML to Activity great. Pub back to HTML.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Oh,
it's a complete chop and drop. I mean, so like, and I know one thing I know about designers, web designers, is they love to show their chops. So when I throw it out there and say, hey, if anybody wants to make this look good, everybody's like, oh yeah. Yeah, they're rubbing their hands.
I just wanted to bring one quick thing up because on Pod News Weekly Review, Sam Sethi had what was going to be a rant and then it turned into a tisk tisk. Some British thing. And he had kind of a backwards way of promoting the idea of activity streams, which, I mean, it actually made me go back and look again at the activity stream spec or from the activity streams working group. And he really seems to want this. But the way he brought it was kind of odd because he said he hates the idea of, which is, I'm just on the opposite side of this, of people adding services with a split in the value block. And which was interesting, and he accused me of having 25 splits, which I don't. I think my max is 10. But, and it came from what Spurlock is doing with the OP3. And I'm not, you know, so Sam wants it to be activity streams that's shared with everybody. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just misunderstanding activity streams. It seems like it's something all the apps would have to implement. And what I love so much about the value block is I can add a service in there. It's like, I call it the API for podcasters. I'm an idiot. But I have no idea how an API works. I mean, obviously I'm a Rust expert, but I don't know how, you know, APIs, OAuth, all that stuff. You know, if I just want to add a service where, okay, so it's it shows up in Fountain. Fountain has a way of surfacing boostograms. I add the boost bot. You know, I don't, unless there's some problem with adding splits that way. I mean, to me, it's the way the whole system is supposed to work. It's like Spurlock gets paid for a service that I enjoy having. You know, in fact, when I send it to Fountain, it goes to my own account, I think, or whatever. I mean, it doesn't even matter. I want to share. I want to share in all of the value. And it just seems, I just want to make sure that I'm on the right track here. I love the idea of adding services and things that come along with a split in the value box because it's literally a way for me to pay for a service, no matter what it is. And with activity streams, I mean, I just don't see how you can have that value. Someone has to run a server somewhere and then surface activity streams that show, you know, I don't know what I've done. I don't know. I love what's happening here. Am I on the wrong track? Am I seeing this the wrong way?
I don't know. Since I didn't hear it, I'm not sure what. Yeah, I don't know how to frame. I don't know what the framing is. You know.
That's what was weird. I think he wants to promote activity streams, but he was doing it by saying it's dumb to use splits for this. It is great to use splits for this.
Maybe we should get him on the show.
What?
We should get him on the show.
Let's get him on the show. He wants to be on the show. We should get him on the show.
Yeah. Let's get him on the show and hash it out. Because maybe there's something we're missing. I mean, I guess the only thing I can think of that would be a downside to the split thing as a way to enable an API is that sort of you're kind of limited to the sort of minimum you could do. So, I mean, like you can't really go, it's hard to go below 1%. I guess for some shows that could end up being you're sort of overpaying. I don't know.
No, it wasn't about that. But he just felt it's not a smart way to use the value block. And I'm like, that's exactly what it's for.
Oh, Nathan says the other factor he brought up is listener permission to share that data. I could see a.
Well,
because you're sort of passing things through to a third party.
No one seems to have complained about, you know, boostograms showing up on Fountain. Yeah. People seem to see it as a feature. I think we're beyond that.
Yeah,
I don't see. I mean, it's really anonymous. I mean, it really is. You know, other than what
there's no IPs or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's another beauty of it. But no, I don't know. I think that's.
No, we'll get him on the show. We'll figure it out.
Let's definitely get him on the show because, and I just want to say again, okay. I love the new. I mean, now I go to OP3. Like now I have a reason to take a look at this stuff. Yeah, I don't care about how many people are you know, accessing, impressioning, downloading, listening, whatever. I don't really don't care. I think it was something beautiful that happened the other day when I stream my sats to all the podcasts and I listen to Pod News every single day. I don't think I skip a single one. And yes, sometimes when I hear the music change, boom, 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 I'm like, okay, here comes the ad and I'm done. But I may have my gloves on, I'm outside. And so, and then I heard, James had some copy about Hindenburg and I'm a Hindenburg customer, Hindenburg Pro. And there was, you know, and he was talking about the big knob and, you know, I lived in the UK. I get the joke. And so I boosted. I'm like, hey, I'm boosting for the big knob. And he sent that to his advertiser and the advertiser loved it. You know, and they posted it on, I said, post that on Twitter. You know, I'll retweet that. So it was kind of a fun crossover where boosting, I think, enhanced. So the value for value enhanced a podcast that is inherently value for value and sponsored. So, and I think we've just been talking about that, you know, advertisers.
There's a crossover there.
Yeah. You know, and I think that I happily sent my money to James and whoever that goes to, but also to give feedback on the ad. And that can be really, you know, that can be really good.
Yeah. I think that's great. I mean, I think people have to just become comfortable with the fact that, I mean, when I say people, I mean podcasters. I think podcasters have to become comfortable with sort of opening things up a little bit. I think this has been an issue in the podcast world forever, is that everybody's super secretive. Nobody wants anybody to know their stuff. Chad F. literally, does our books in the open on the, on Mastodon.
Yeah, we were going to discuss that this show. I had that as a to-do item and we didn't. But here we are. Here we are. We're discussing it now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is like when you sort of embrace, I mean, nobody, when you embrace this idea that things are open and you don't try to be secretive about things and you let your audience pass through to your sponsors or your sponsors. The world we live in now is just kind of suspicious and rightly so because did you see the EU thing with the new Microsoft Outlook?
No, what's that? I missed that.
Now, this is not Outlook.com. This is the desktop installed version of Outlook. In the EU now, they have to have a disclosure about third-party tracking. And there's a pop-up that happens on the desktop version of Outlook. A pop-up comes up and says, Microsoft and 737 third parties are scraping your data for ad tracking.
Based on that email. Outlook has to. So Outlook is disclosing that they're tracking.
Yes, they have to disclose the third parties they're tracking. In the
700.
Yeah, it was like 737 different ad trackers. Third parties. Let me see if I can find this because it was.
That's insane.
This is the new version. Like I said, this is not.
Was this Therat? Did Therat do an article on this?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay.
Here it is. Okay, I've got the screenshot.
772 third parties process data to store and or access information on your device, develop and improve. You're paying for this product.
Yes, you're installing a thing that you're paying for through Office 365 subscription.
That's crazy.
It says, by clicking the accept all button, you agree to the use of these technologies and processing of your data for these purposes.
Wow.
So, I mean,
And people think that anyone has a problem with their boostergram.
Right. This is what I'm saying. I mean, becoming comfortable, as a podcaster, becoming more open, becoming like more transparent. I think it just makes everybody more confident in who you are and your character when you can show that you're not hiding anything.
That's crazy.
And so then if you have, I think it builds your legitimacy with your spot with, it makes people trust your, if you're advertising based or sponsorship based, I think that lens makes people even more comfortable when you're more open. Because anything advertising based is just so inherently skeptical these days.
I mean, I can tell you from experience with No Agenda, you know, from time to time, there's going to be someone that shows up and says, you're pretending that you're poor and you're not. Okay. Because, you know, we have a very blatant ask. We're like, hey, you want this show to keep going? You got to support it. We also right. call everybody a producer, and we also credit people for other things, time and talent, not the treasure part. And from time to time, let me wonder if it's still around. There was a website, noagendanumbers.com. Let me see. Some guy went through the trouble of doing that. Ah, too bad it's gone. And you know, and this guy would count the numbers and publish spreadsheets and look at all this cash they're making. These people suck. And you know what? Nobody cared. Nobody cared. It was always like, nobody cared. it was, and you know, and in the beginning I was like, oh, that kind of weird, but you know, nobody cared. Nobody has ever cared. They're like, and you know, and people who care, who think that's a problem, they don't support it. That's fine. That's the whole beauty of it. It took 5-6 years before, I mean, I wanted to quit No Agenda at episode 100. I was like, we had a good run, John. Let's quit this thing. I'm done.
I've got this weird idea that if you really love a podcast, you don't want the podcaster to be struggling and barely scraping by every episode. You want them to see that it is worth their time and it's a rewarding experience financially for them, or else they're not going to stick with it. If you really want it,
yeah.
You don't want that. You want the podcaster to be rewarded as much as possible. And you know, like with this project, you know, we said from the very beginning, this is all about the donations we receive, especially the PayPal donations we receive on this show, is all about building a war chest, because mm-hmm. People come and go, and there is going to be a time when donations are going to drop down to nothing.
Or when we die.
Yeah. One of those two.
Something's going to happen eventually.
In perfect example, a $500 a month donor this month canceled their donation.
Oh,
so, and we did not, and we did not miss a beat because we have saved all of that money. It costs us typically about $1,300 a month to run everything that we run. And so that's, we just ditched the LN pay note. So that saves us $450 a month. So that $500 that dropped off is okay. We can eat it.
And I might add that you and I personally pay taxes over the money that comes in, even though we don't pay ourselves.
We do. Yes. It cost me $3,000 last year.
It costs money, and we're not crying, but that's just how it works. You know, it's what it is. And we're happy. We're fine with that.
And I'm scared of what it's going to be this year, but I'm hoping I did my math right.
It's going to be $500 less per month. That's for sure.
$500 less. So, you know, cause I'm about to have to do this. We're about to have to get my brother-in-law to do our taxes for the LLC. So
he doesn't work for free. Nice family member you got there.
No, of course not. Nobody works for free, not even family.
Except us.
because we have what I've always wanted, and you concur, is to have at least 5 years of cushion built up to where if the donations drop to zero, we could keep on trucking and not miss a beat for 5 years.
Yeah.
because we made a promise, and that and in order to keep the promise, we have to have enough just flat out cash to pay the bills. And so that's, and we're on track. We're not there yet. We could, I think last time I checked, we could run for about 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 years, roughly in that time frame.
And all the sats stay on the node. And if you need liquidity, let us know. You know, I'd be happy to open up a nice fat channel to you.
But I'm totally cool with Chad F doing that. I think it's great because it shows, I mean, it's pretty accurate. I mean, his math is pretty spot on as far as I can tell.
I think he is, yeah.
You know, yeah. And so that's, I think it's great. I think this sort of spirit of openness. I think the podcast industry as a whole would benefit from that. There's way too much secrecy going on. Stats and everything. It's just,
oh, well, all that's falling apart.
It is.
You know, it's like they never really needed the IAB. The advertisers aren't stupid. They have spreadsheets. They know whose numbers are what, and they discount it. And they're like, your numbers are X, Y, or Z. I know what they are. So the IAB is just a farce.
Yeah.
Basically.
It is.
Let's thank a few people. Sure. I'm going to thank the people who came in with live boosts. Podhome, 30,000 sats. Thanks, brother. Very nice. Yeah. The Dutch guy is up late. Sam Sethi, 10,000 sats. Glad to hear that Rel equals me is now part of the conversation. Activity streams will be soon, I hope. We need to discuss this, smiley face. Yes, we will. We'll have you on, Sam. Boobery, 7777. Please send good vibes. Decided on top of everything going on right now that this is the weekend to get a Freedom controller going.
No, you good luck.
Oh, brother. Okay. All right.
You're on my prayer list.
Yes. Top of the prayer list, Boobery. Dreb Scott, 4567. Don't cross the streams. LOL. Chad F with 333. This is the TikTok model. Keep the tribe separate. Yes, exactly. He came up with the same conclusion I did. Another 4567 from Dreb Scott says pew, 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 pew. Another 4567 sats from Dreb Scott testing pew pews, not hearing them on the live stream. Yeah, well, I opened up the pew. The pew, pew, pew. And then he comes in with 45,678. Dreb Scott going crazy. He says, don't get your finger stuck in your nostril bridge. Go podcasting. We'll give
you go podcasting!
Got it. Boobery with a long, long note here sent on Podverse 3333. I'm fairly confident by the end of tonight I'll have a lighting fixture that will shine when a boost comes in.
Of course.
I love this.
Of course he does.
Picked up a sick little USB to DMX box from my computer. I've been salivating at the idea of making a big ass LED neon sign that is pixel mappable for the best music 2.0 homegrown hits. Homegrown hits is the absolute tits jacked full of that sweet homegrown flavor. It would be sick to build them a giant lighted sign that changes effects based off of boost amounts. Dude, I want one of those. I'll buy one. I want one in my studio. I just want that. Pew, pew. I want it changing with the numbers, whatever. I love that idea.
What is DMX? Is that, what is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think DMX is a lighting protocol. It's like
like to control RGB stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it's RGB, but it's DJs use it to control lighting rigs, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like MIDI, right. MIDI for lighting.
For lights.
Yeah.
Oh, I
think so. Okay. Cool. Let me see what else we have here. I'm scrolling through a lot of different boosts here. I hit the delimiter. So that's it for the live boosts, and you're up.
We have zero. One-off PayPals this week.
Good work, everybody.
Thanks. Apropos to the discussion we just had.
There you go. Thank God we have a little kitty.
That's right. We got to dip into the pot. James Cridlin, Satchel or Richards, through Fountain. He says, wait a sec. Those Activity Pub postings mean that every podcast can get cross-app comments. If there isn't even a social interact, then just use the posting. That's correct, James. Exactly right. And it's all tribal.
I mean, when I saw that, I went, oh, holy crap. That is very smart. That
fixes
a lot of things, actually.
Noppy 1984, 4,000 sats through Fountain. He says, last 10% listener boost. Okay. Oh, he made it past the 90% mark. Thank you, Oppie. Mere Mortals Podcast, that's our buddy Kyron, 2222 through Fountain. He says, well, I'm no $30 million marketer, but I would like to claim the V4V consultant title. Courtney finally just released our convo on Podcast Bestie, recorded 6 months ago.
Yes.
So I didn't talk about V4V music much. Would be great to stream boost that episode to give her a taste of authentic peer-to-peer, real-time, no dodgy statistic feedback.
So we got to stream that episode. By the way, I just got 2,000 from Barry from Pod Home. He says, it seems you still have me in the splits. That's a mistake probably, right? Yep, it was.
Hey, enjoy them.
Bonus, Barry. Bonus for you, brother. Yeah. Bonus.
Yeah. Kudos to Barry for saying that, because he could have just remained silent. He may have stayed in there for weeks.
No, that's the next guest would have changed it. But yeah, that was my mistake.
That's true.
That's all right.
Podcast Bestie. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Okay. I'm downloading that right now. I got you, Kyron. Let's see. What else we got here? We got 1701. Oh, that's a Mike Dell. It's got to be. Yep. Mike Dell. Through Castomatic, he says, hi from the snow globe of Michigan. Well, hello from the freezer of Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, chilly in the hill country.
Balderdash Boys, 33333 through Fountain. He says, thank you for all your help and all the great info. Weekly Go Podcasting, Sir Wes of Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash.
Go Podcasting!
Yeah, those guys are cool.
Yeah.
They're good guys.
Sir Brian of London, 21948. Through Castomatic, he says, remember what Amalek, Google, Facebook, Apple did to you?
always bring... What is that noise?
Amalek, that's the Jewish...
Yeah, the enemy. Amalek. The enemy. Yeah. Amalek yeah. is yeah. the enemy.
Boost!
All right, yes, we got it.
Thank you, Brian. Unai Gomez, 3219, through Podverse, says, boosting from the Basque country.
No.
What is Basque?
Basque, that's in Spain.
Boost.
Oh. Basque. Okay. The Basque country.
You're near Alberto, I guess, from RSS.com. Give him a shout. Go to lunch.
Barry just sent 10,000 sats back to us.
Oh, he didn't have to do that.
You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Go buy a beer. Source D sent us 1701. That's our buddy Archie. He says, only a technician. Don't think I can get on 20 M.
Say again. Oh, 20 meters. As a tech. Wait, as a technician. Yeah, you can. I think you can go on 20 meters, but yet you may not be able to do. I forget. That's a ham radio talk. I'm not sure exactly anymore, but you can look it up. But yeah, I think you can go on 20 meters, but not like 80. Some others you can't go on, but you want to get general. So just go for general. You can do it.
How big is a 20 meter antenna? That's pretty big, right?
Well, a full length antenna would be 20 meters,
right?
Which would be 60 feet. Yeah.
That's huge.
But I have an N-fed Zeppelin antenna, which is just a wire. Okay. Yeah. It's an N-fed Zep, baby. A wire with a transformer on one end. And, it's probably about 20 feet. Something like that. I mean, I got an antenna tuner. You could take a clothes hanger. You know what the coolest antenna is? A loop antenna.
What is that?
So a loop antenna is literally a loop of wire with a loop of wire inside of it. And it'll have a big capacitor on the front, and you tune the antenna with that. And those things are amazing. You can have it inside and you can reach all over the world. It's very... I mean, the minute you move to a different frequency, you have to retune it. It's very critical in the tuning. But loop antennas, I mean, you can go back in history, World War II, all the wars, they use them in the military. Loop antennas are just amazing what they can do.
So it's a 20 meter antenna, but just in a loop?
The loop can be pretty small. Look at chameleon loop. They sell them, and it's basically just a loop wire with a loop on the inside and in a big box, and that box has a huge capacitor, air gapped, and you just tune it and you're good to go.
Because I think I certified my novice license on like two meter.
Well, novice doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, this is back in.
Yeah. 2 meter, like just, yeah. 2 meter just on the handheld stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, 60 feet, that's your whole backyard.
Yeah. But shit, but you know, you don't need a full wavelength. No one uses a full wavelength. Hit me up on VAR AC, everybody. Keto 5 Alpha Charlie Charlie.
We got, oh, the Delimiter, comic strip blogger.
There
34,000 sats.
Ooh.
Through Fountain. He says, howdy, fellow Bitcoiners, Dave. And he's calling, he says, fellow Bitcoiner. So that he's calling himself a Bitcoiner.
A Bitcoiner. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome, comic strip blogger.
Yes. Hello, Bitcoiner.
Howdy, fellow Bitcoiners, Dave and Adam. Please invite your listeners to listen to Just Two Good Old Boys podcast at www.justtwogoodoldboys.com. Join Ben and Gene in their thought-provoking podcast as they tackle a wide range of topics, from the complexities of politics and global events in 2024 to personal anecdotes and technological musings. This podcast offers a candid and unreserved discussion. Yo, CSB. Do you think
thanks,
Ben and Gene would describe their podcast as a candid and unreserved discussion?
Listen, Comic Strip Blogger does everything with ChatGPT these days. He just said, write a boostagram for this podcast. And that's what ChatGPT did. They gave him that. That's how he rolls. I'm telling you. I can see it. I see his post. It's all ChatGPT. He comes up with some like, oh, this is how I feel today. And it's like a whole ChatGPT output. You're not fooling me.
CSB GPT. I was about to say, are we sure CSB still exists?
No, he's literally AI. He's just become AI. Yeah. He does not exist anymore.
He's been AFK for like a year and a half, probably, at this point.
Any other one-offs?
We got monthlies, right. Got Paul Saltzman,
$22.22.
Thank you, Paul. Damon Kasajak, $15. Derek J. Visker, the best name in 2.0, is $21. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. Jeremy Gerds, $5. Michael Hall, $5.50. And Trevor at Xenor out of Australia, $5. And that's our group.
What a good group. A good looking group also. Thank you very much for supporting this Value for Value project and podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Value for Value, go to value4value.info. And to support this Value for Value podcast and project, go to podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. There are two red donate buttons. There's one for your fiat fund coupons. That's the PayPal, which we, of course, accept, and we appreciate that. The other one is for Tallycoin. For all you fellow Bitcoiners who never give us on-chain coin, but I still check it, and still nothing since the 27th of October, 2023. But what we really want you to do is go to podcastapps.com, modernpodcastapps.com, newpodcastapps.com, nudepodcastapps.com, and grab a new podcast app. Almost all of them now do Value for Value in some form or another. I think I'm seeing 16 different apps now, I think. 16, do maybe 17. What?
Do them all.
Yeah, do them all.
Install all of them.
Yeah, load up your wallet and send us some boosts and a boost to Graham. We'd love to read them. We'd love to thank you personally on the show. And thank you so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0, the whole kit and caboodle.
But I just got the Podcasting 2.0 live from the AP Bridge 8 minutes ago.
Way to go. All right. Hey, it works.
Hey, we made it. We're technically still accurate.
Considering I forgot to send it. Yeah.
Technically still live.
All right, brother. What's coming up for this week for you or this weekend? Anything fun? You hanging out with the family? Just trying to stay warm?
Trying to stay warm primarily. Celebrating Christmas with the in-laws that we were not able to do. Well, very late Christmas celebration. So,
Do you have gifts?
Yeah, we got gifts. We do have gifts. We are not coming empty-handed.
It's the stuff that you got from somebody else. Like, I really don't want this. I think I'll give that to my in-laws. This is perfect.
Oh, it's the best to have it this late, because then you can just pick through and just get rid of all the stuff you don't like.
Boardroom, thank you very much for attending, everybody there in the chat. Thank you all so much. Thank you for all that you do. This is a cast of hundreds who really work on this project. It's app developers. It's allies of the app developers. It's podcasters. It's nut jobs. It's a crazy band. I love all of you. Dave, my brother, thank you so much. And we'll be back next Friday for another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We'll be here, and I'll let you know when we're live and lit. See you then, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! You know, I think the kids call this based.